I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Yo, what's poppin', Rush Nation? We are just over 24 hours from the NFL draft, so Murph and I are back. It's time to talk some football. We had to take some time off because, well, basically our schedules could not meet up because Murph's been on the road more than a Australian freight train on the road. I don't know if that's the right term. Road train, I think it is, actually. Freight trains tend to stick to the rails. And, hey, we're off the rails already. Big man, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, it's been a week already. I've been Sheffield, Nottingham, London. Was at the Arsenal game last night. And then Wolverhampton today. So a lot of mileage, a lot of time on the train, a lot of busted connections, lots of time sitting around, lots of coffee. But it's good. I'm back in the home office. So looking forward to tomorrow night. This is a really fun, exciting part of the year now where we get the NFL draft. And I've got to admit, I'm not as excited this year as I have been in previous years. I think there's some things that are really spoiling it for me more than normal years. And I guess we can cover that whenever you want.
Well, I mean, we just jumped on and we normally have a few minutes before we start recording, just, you know, catch up and stuff. And you started talking about the draft and I literally put a full stop in your sentence, said, Murph, don't do it now. Don't waste the good stuff. Let's get straight to it. So, yeah, I mean, this is definitely the year in most recent years that I am the most underprepared for the NFL draft. And I don't know why. I think maybe there's some stuff that you think for you, but for me, I feel I got so disenfranchised with building up all this information, knowledge and stuff about players. And then the draft happens and half of that becomes completely irrelevant because of landing spot, or they don't get drafted anywhere near where I think they're going to get drafted. And I'm hugely underprepared. And as you're going to mention this, like the internet is just destroying this for me.
Yeah. We've got to the point now where the NFL has done a really good job in making the draft a very watchable product where it makes it entertaining. It makes it fun. A lot of people look forward to it. It brings renewed hope and renewed optimism for teams in the season. Who you're going to get? Are you going to get your franchise quarterback, your franchise tackle, your franchise wide receiver? And it's the great equalizer, the NFL draft, to a point. Some teams just draft badly and continue to draft badly and stay continually bad, and some teams are better than average. But it is a bit of an equalizer. I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way. It's not the fans or the mock drafts or anything else that has put me off. It's the fake news. Now, people in the UK will probably get this point a lot more than those in the US, but I would say 20 years ago, 15 years ago, transfer deadline day for the Premier League and for soccer was one of the best nights of television that you could have, because you had this amazing drama unfold of players going like last minute, heading on the motorway, turning up, and they haven't agreed a deal with the clubs. You had helicopters, you had deal sheets. Did they get it in before the time or not? And there was always some good players that would get moved on deadline day. So you always had, and there was shocks that would come out on deadline day. So something would not be known. You turn up on deadline day, and then all of a sudden something would start rumbling in the morning, and then you're waiting to see if it happens. Or something, you used to get deals come out the window at like 8 o'clock at night, and like you've not heard a thing, and you're like, oh my God, they've got 3 hours to get this player to have a medical and get it done. And it was great because you had drama, you had excitement. There was always some hook. There was something going on. Big players moving. And over the years, this combination of fake transfer news and too good a reporting has kind of spoiled the event. You wake up on deadline day and you know exactly what is going to happen. The marquee deals are not the marquee deals anymore. You end up with just pretty bang average deals. If you're a club towards the bottom end of the table, you're a little bit busier and you tend to get a few in, a few out. That could be a little bit entertaining, but the clubs have got better at managing the process and there's less carnage, which therefore makes it a less watchable product. But more importantly, the news is either too good and you know what's going to happen, or it's complete garbage. And so this dissemination has watered down, and it feels like the product is being over dramatized to what the delivery is. You get this hype that these things are going to happen, and they don't, they never happen, and it becomes a really deflating event. And I think this year the NFL draft is very similar. We've had all these talks of all these teams are moving up. The Vikings are moving up, the Giants are moving up potentially. We're talking about, you know, all I've heard is all these the Cardinals are going to move back. The Chargers be open to moving back for the right price. The Patriots will be open to moving back for the right price. So-and-so is going to come up. Atlanta's going to come up. This team's going to come up. Nothing's happened. 24 hours before, nothing has happened. And it's unlikely that most of these things are going to happen. You might get one, you might get two. And so it's all this, and every day on Sleeper, there is a new rumor that is just completely garbage. And it's really watered down the product for me, because there's just a lot of crap reporting. It's crap news. Some of it is either going to be really true.
Let history mark my words well, for I care nothing about who sits proud on the stage.
Excuse me. That's ridiculous.
What are you? It's a nice audio book that you've got there of your own voice.
And just another StreamYard page just started playing. That is really weird. Brilliant. Carry on.
And so... That was brilliant.
You're welcome.
I just feel like there's too many people trying to create news where there's no news. And so it's not about the players anymore. It's about the teams making moves. And it's all about, oh, well, JJ McCarthy's going to go 2 overall, 3 overall. Michael Penix, today's one, Michael Penix Jr. might be selected at 6 for the Giants. It's just like, this is absolute waffle. So much of this is complete garbage. And it seems to be, for me, more so than any other year. And the problem is, you're now got this combine where you've got players who don't want to participate.
Yep.
And so you've got more people opting out of the combine because they realize they don't need to go. So the best players don't go to the combine anymore. They just do the interviews and the stuff that you don't get to see. You've got players who don't want to do pro days, or some will do pro days. And then you've got, it just feels like, it just feels rubbish. Like, I feel like we're being cheated. Fake news, crap reporting. Yeah, that is a great comment from TH Fantasy. Like Will Levis going number 2. Yeah, Malik Willis, Malik Willis going first round 2 years ago and he falls to the third round. He was going top 10 at one point. Like, it's just garbage. Well, and the thing is, they were in isolation. The Will Levis thing was in isolation. The Malik Willis thing was kind of like, there were a couple of bits and pieces. It's now got to the point where it's just constant. Every day there's a new rumor that's getting picked up and reported by ESPN. And it's just got to the point where it's just like, it's just done. And and Pitsy makes a great point. It's been a while, but this just seems to be, it just gets longer. It gets longer every year, the reporting and all the crap. And so you get 2 months of absolute waffle to the point where I've lost interest because actually so much of it's rubbish. Yep. You're just like, actually, I just wanted to start now and I'll get excited again when I turn it on. But I'm always lost interest in what's been reported in the last 2 weeks because 90% of it's complete fabrication because ESPN and NFL Network are trying to jump up viewing figures. They're trying to get people to chew into it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If Sky do this every year with transfer deadline day, they fuel out rubbish and I'm not saying they're the ones that are peddling the rumor, as in they create it. I'm not saying they're in a back office somewhere thinking, I know what will hook viewers. There's clearly someone that is giving them a piece of information that is a rumor. And they are telling people, this is what we're hearing. I can go onto Twitter right now and say, I think, I've just read that JJ McCarthy's going to the Bears 1 overall. Because someone on Twitter would have put that. It's complete nonsense.
Yeah.
And I just feel for me, it's watered down. Yeah, pro day's watered down. Everything is just, it's less about and for me, the big losers, this is the players. The players now are not doing themselves favours. They're getting bad advice from agents. They're not putting themselves in front of cameras. They're not bigging themselves up into the potential stars they can be. They feel very standoffish. They're harder to relate to. And I feel like we're getting less about the personality of the players and we're just dealing with stats. And how many people are going to the draft this year? Like 9? You almost like
all?
Yeah, it's such, I don't know the exact, I think it's about that. It's a very, very low number of players are going to attend in person, which again is a great thing. Like turning up at the draft, you see them all high-fiving each other when they get drafted. I used to love the tables. I liked it when they had the tables with the families and the phone call would happen and you guess what would happen. And you get people like Johnny Football coming up and doing the dollar signs. And you get Christian Wilkins jumping up and flattening the commissioner. You know, that sort of stuff is great. Like, that's the sort of stuff you go for. And if players are going to stop attending the draft, what is the point of tuning into the draft?
Yep.
What's the point? If the players aren't going to be there, it's just going to be 3 white guys and David Shaw of Stanford talking about who's being picked. And it will go the other way. It'll go back to being an unwatchable product. So we're losing the players. We're losing the personality. We're losing all the things that make the magic of the draft are all starting to be sucked into crap. Ultimately, it's a long rant. But I just got to this point now where it's like, I just want it to happen now and get it out of the way so we can actually know who's going to be on the teams.
That's the thing, though, because there are, like you say, so much reporting and like everybody, and I don't mean this in a horrible way, but everybody, because of the internet, is now an expert. And I'm not sitting here saying I am an expert and other people aren't, but there are so many mock drafts now. There are so many news things coming out that, you know, this is slightly later than normal for us in terms of we're really close to the draft and we haven't really talked about it. But we are in the unique position now where we don't have to sit here and say, right, we're going to do a last minute mock draft, because there would literally be no point. The boat has sailed on that trip. So we can sit here and just basically talk and rant about the upcoming NFL draft, talk about some stuff we're interested in, players that we like or things that might happen. But to me, this just feels as if we had the preseason where there was so much waffle and we cut through it in order to get to what we wanted to achieve, you and I, fantasy-wise. Then we had the season, which was a pause on that waffle, and now the season's finished and we're into draft season and before that combine and pro day season. It's like the button of play's just been pushed again and we're back to the nonsense of before season when it... For me, it just feels...
which is free agency. So I think that's where there is a secondary pause because the reporting there is bob on. It's very factual, which is fine. I like that. And there were no real surprises, but it is what it is. I like that. And it goes into the contract extensions. I like that part of the season. I just feel like I'm with you 100%. I just feel like for me, we're losing the identity of what makes the NFL draft great, which is about the players. Like you're talking about a person or people who have gone through three to four years of sometimes five of unpaid tryouts. Let's get it right. They've made a load of money for universities. And I know that image rights and everything are going to change that. And we're now going to get these new generations of people sponsored by Lamborghini and all that. But this is sort of the last generation of people who effectively haven't made money off the image rights. And I don't begrudge the players making money off the image rights, by the way. I haven't crack on. Like, you're making the boosters, the colleges, tens of millions of dollars. You should absolutely get a slice. I don't have a problem with it. This whole, we give them an education. That doesn't cut it for me. I think at the end of the day, these people deserve money. It's a job. They're putting their bodies on the line. They absolutely deserve more than a bit of insurance and a free education. But it is an amateur sport. It's an amateur sport, which they don't get paid for, which they make a load of people money. And it's effectively an extended tryout that then leads to them setting up their career for life. And you get the personality when they're on campus, and then it's almost like we now got players who are sitting out of senior bowl games unless it's the national title. We've got seniors sort of rolling up halfway through the season going, I'm done, don't want to risk injury. And as a player, I'd make that decision myself. You're not getting paid. Why would you risk your family's future earnings to do it? So I'm not criticizing the players for not playing because I think they're right. But my point is they stop playing, and the second they walk off the field for the final time, that's it. It's almost like the access to the players now is getting even more restricted, and you're not seeing the character. You're not seeing the personalities. You're not really getting the stories of who these people are as people, which is what makes relatable products. And so what you're going to get, if this trend continues, you're going to get players into the league that are impersonable. You're just going to get players with no personality. And if you think about what makes the NFL so great over, say, the Premier League, it's the personalities of the players. It's the Tom Brady's of this world, the Peyton Manning. I don't love Peyton Manning, but Peyton Manning is an incredible personality. There are so many phenomenal personalities. Gronk, for example, who've just shone through. Travis Kelce, Jason Kelce. I could keep going. I could name hundreds of football players who have remarkable personalities, and that's what we cling on to as fans. It's building these relationships. It's almost like we know them as people, and we're going to get to a point where that access is going to stop, and these people are effectively going to be PR chained robots, and we're going to lose that. And I think the sport will become poorer as a result of the personality side. And so the more that these players step out senior year, shut themselves away, don't do the combine, really restricted pro days, we're just going to lose all the things that make the NFL great. And we're going to end up with a very standardized vanilla league. That's my concern. We're not there yet, but the NFL needs to do a better job of putting the players front and center and getting them in front of cameras and doing the PR, because this is all part of their PR training. You know, if you're going to go first overall in the draft, you've got to talk and sound like a leader, and you've got to learn that by doing. You know, you can't just take a course and hope that works. And I think, yeah, just the fake reporting is we're trying to make this into prime time start of the event. And the problem is it's so good as it is. Don't mess with it because people watch it. It's a highly watched product. If you're trying to change it too much, you're going to mess with it and people will tune out. And that's kind of what you need to get away from. So they're my concerns. And that's why I think for me, I haven't been as eager on the mock drafts. I've not been as eager. And like I feel ready and prepared. I have my rankings. I'll put out a podcast tomorrow talking through my fantasy perspective on players. But I think tonight we talk about what we've got with the players. I always have very controversial takes in terms of especially at the quarterback position. I have one this year that I think people are going to hate. So probably a good thing I'm not on Twitter at the moment. but at the end of the day, people hate my takes at quarterback every year. And I have a better than 500 rate in terms of getting these picks right, where I condemned the Trey Lance pick at 3. I didn't like the Justin Fields pick at 15. You know, I've got a bit of a history. You know, I've prompted players and, you know, some people give me stick. I still think I get stick for Davis Mills over Trey Lance. I'd still argue that Davis Mills has had a better NFL career than Trey Lance. Ultimately. But yeah, I think I think we're in a situation where I have a controversial take at quarterback and people aren't going to like it. I don't care. Ultimately, don't feel free to at me. I only give you my opinion, and it is just my opinion. But I think there'll be some consensus at the wide receiver position. The running back position, I think, is really poor this year. I think it's one of the worst classes I've seen for a while.
And I think that's another reason why, not the running back class, but because of the consensus at wide receiver, the huffle-puffle around Caleb Williams and the following suitors. And then the running back, apart from Brock Bowers, he's a tight end, the running back position being so poor.
Yeah.
Then it's just, it doesn't excite me the way previous drafts have.
Here's the other thing with the consensus, right? Because there is so much media around the draft now, the draft coverage is creating consensus. Here's what I absolutely categorically hate about NFL draft coverage. My absolute pet prick. Are you ready for this?
Yep.
I hate it when somebody tells me that a player is falling down the rankings. Like, I hate, or falling down draft boards. That is the expression I absolutely hate. Beyond any saying in any sport anywhere in the world, that is the number one phrase I absolutely hate. Like when people tell me that like Michael Penix Jr. is falling down boards, or Michael Penix Jr. is rising up board, JJ McCarthy's rising up draft boards. There's one freaking draft board. There's one. It's on the night that the draft starts. Right? How can you move up and down a draft board that hasn't happened yet? What people are referring to is draft board consensus, which is a load of waffle. I'm sorry. I love a mock draft as much as the next person. I've put out hundreds of mock drafts in my time. Ultimately, the mock draft up and down sliding scale is complete tripe because it's theoretical based on people's opinions, of which most of them have never played the game and never scouted in the game, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying as an entertainment piece, it doesn't have its place, because it does. But the theoretical rising and falling of players on draft boards that doesn't exist is complete tripe, because the NFL front offices and coaches have their boards. We had Michael Lombardi on a few years ago. And if you haven't listened to this episode with Michael Lombardi, we actually talked to him about what it was like to draft in a real NFL draft room. And he talked about how he constructed boards for the Patriots. And we know there's a vertical board and a horizontal board. If you haven't listened to that episode, Just search for Michael Lombardi 5-yard rush. Find it. It's a phenomenal episode. And this is where, ever since, like, we've had the opportunity to speak to people who have conducted NFL drafts, I kind of like the media stuff is waffle because they're just so far off the mark.
Yeah.
I like Daniel Jeremiah. Don't get me wrong. If I had to, and Bucky Brooks, I think those two guys, when they analyze players and they do mock drafts, they do it in the real spirit of they're using some intelligence that they get, and they're also thinking about their knowledge and skills of players, and they're looking at legitimate scheme fits, and they're putting together intelligent mock drafts, which consider a lot of thought. And that's where it has a place for me, because you're educating the viewing population. But it's when you're getting the absolute tripe of, oh, well, he's fallen down in this person's mock draft. It's like, come on, not fallen down. It's one person's opinion versus another person's opinion.
Yeah.
None of it is based on fact. And none of it is based on a real event that has occurred. So this whole rising and falling nonsense, his draft stock has fallen. It's fallen through the floor. What an absolute bunch of tripe that is. The amount of times I have heard players' draft stock has fallen nonsense. It's just beyond the... This has turned into a 20-minute rant, so I'll stop. But that is my point. It's just... I'm sorry. It is just nonsense. Like, if we're going to partake in this, let's enjoy it for what it is. And let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy getting to know the players. Let's enjoy getting to see what the next stars of the NFL are going to be like. For me, if we're going to stop players, if players are going to stop going to the draft, let's go back to what it was a couple of years ago during the pandemic and have the GMs draft in their houses and turn it into a proper spectacle. Like, that stuff's entertaining. Like, I loved it. Like, let's get a bit, because you've got the personality of Bill Belichick with his dog and, you know,
Cliff Kingsbury balling out.
Yeah, but why was that amazing? Because you saw the personal side of things.
Yeah.
You got insight into how these people live. It's like reality television. It's phenomenal. There's a reason it's a watchable product. So if we're going to not have, if players decide we're not going to go to the NFL draft, great. Let's move it all virtual in people's houses and let's make it a real show. And then put like proper and get some real insight and get some real personability behind it, where the players who get drafted, they conduct the interviews with their families around them. You capture the really nice moments of mum getting cuddled, and you see GMs like on the phone, working the phones, doing virtual high five, like all that sort of stuff. Let's do that, but let's capture the personalities of the players, because it's about them. It's not about anything else.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I think that COVID draft was fantastic and personable. And it was, I think what helped with that as well is it was different, that we hadn't seen anything like that before.
Right.
So,
and here's what I loved is the following year, Roger Goodell brings his chair to the draft. So he brings it onto the draft stage and he's conducting it in his chair. And I think they raffled off the chair, or they did an auction for it. And then they bought fans of every club, of every team. Fans got to go up, make a pick from the chair, and they made the chair an event. Like, stuff like that is amazing. Like, it's just, it's bonkersly brilliant. And like that, it's those kind of things. It's those moments. Like Kyle Brandt, when he announced a Bills draft pick in Zupo bloody tracksuits eating fried chicken. Like, phenomenal. This is the kind of stuff that you choose. Like, you want real bonkers stuff at the NFL draft. But it has to be around the players that are there as well. Like, we all remember the Johnny Footballs, we all remember the really iconic moments of players when they get drafted. And like, let's not lose that. Because if we lose that, then yeah, there's no point in televising the NFL draft.
So do I get to hear your controversial take at quarterback tonight, Murph, or is that tomorrow?
No. Let's talk about the quarterbacks, because you probably know what's coming. I don't think Caleb Williams is the best quarterback in this draft.
All right. I don't disagree.
I think he's got the highest ceiling. I think if everything broke right for him, he will probably end up as the best quarterback. But I think right now he carries more risk. If I had the one pick tomorrow, I'm not taking Caleb Williams. In fact, if I had the two pick and Caleb Williams was still on the board, I wouldn't take Caleb Williams. I'd have Caleb Williams in a coin flip for third and fourth.
Okay.
On my list.
Okay. It's not outrageous. I don't hate it.
No.
But that's because I am much more on the Drake May train than I am the Caleb Williams train.
Yeah. So I would have Drake May marginally as the number one QB in this draft. I think he's the most bust proof. I think he is the most likely to carve out a 10-year successful NFL career. I think his attitude is fantastic. I think personality-wise, he's spot on. He's a leadership person. I think in terms of everything you kind of want out of him, he's got a good size, but he's still quite young. He's not quite 22. So he's got everything you kind of want out of a player, room to grow, very coachable, very likable quarterback. Is he the finished article? Is he going to walk up and be the next Joe Burrow next year? No. But I do think he is going to put a good standard into whoever drafts him, which we think will probably be the Washington Commanders. And I would play him as the starting quarterback from day one. I think you do similar to what we saw last year in Houston and just let him throw the ball. Let him make mistakes. Let him just get on and develop. And if you do that, Drake May will have a very, very good, very, very good NFL season.
You say let him make mistakes, but he didn't make many.
No, he didn't.
Last year, CJ Stroud.
No, CJ Stroud didn't. He didn't make mistakes because I think he was given the opportunity to fail. And I think when you take the pressure off people, they perform better, ultimately. CJ Stroud came in with very little expectation. For a number two quarterback in the draft, he came in with hardly any pressure.
Yeah. So if Caleb Williams, in your reality, not your reality, Murph, in your mock that we're just kind of doing off the cuff, you've got Drake May going one, Caleb Williams isn't going two to the Commanders. Who's going two to the Commanders?
JJ McCarthy is going two.
Okay.
You think that's punchy, don't you?
No, I don't. The fact that JJ McCarthy won a national title at Michigan and has been probably the least spoken about fact of all of the quarterbacks in this class is ridiculous. How many times have we seen Michigan fail in the Big Ten while coming up against Ohio State, and then they finally go and win it after being so close the year before? JJ McCarthy was unreal for Michigan last year and is the hate on it, not the hate, but the unhype, which is extremely unusual considering we are in that part of the world where, well, it's hype season for basically everybody except poor JJ. I don't hate it. My only concern with JJ is he is incredibly reckless over the middle of the field with his football. And in the NFL, that might hurt him. But I think he's also got the tangibles to learn. And I think he could be a really good NFL prospect. So
he's the youngest quarterback of any of the major quarterbacks. He's just a nudge younger than Drake May, a couple of months, nothing significant. But ultimately, he is the youngest, but I think he probably has the best leadership qualities of all of them. I look at JJ McCarthy, and I think he is someone who will be an instant captain. He'll walk into a locker room, and he will command authority. He's not afraid of what's ahead of him, not afraid of the hard work. I think he's an absolutely brilliant character. I think that doesn't get spoken about enough with quarterbacks. People analyze the talent and don't analyze the personality. Yep. I think I look at JJ McCarthy. I think that guy's made of absolute granite. I think he is strong mentally as well as physically. And I think he is ready for what comes next. And I think, you know, I'm looking at a team like the Commanders I think if you get Drake May, that's a gift. You can't turn it down. Don't get me wrong. But they would do far worse. Like, if, let's say Drake May goes one tomorrow. We know it's not happening, right? We know it's Caleb Williams. It's done deal. But let's say the Bears wake up tomorrow and take Drake May. If they take Caleb Williams, that will be the greatest mistake that franchise has made in quite some time. And they have made a lot of them. Like, JJ McCarthy will turn around that franchise and make them a really solid proposition for years to come. It's not a flashy, sexy pick, but by God, he will be brilliant. And I think that is what you're striving for. The character and the leadership, he will make everyone in the room better. And that's what you need when you've got a team that has struggled with identity, that has struggled with winning consistently for years, like the Bears, like the Commanders. Having that guy is invaluable. Caleb Williams is not that guy. He's not that guy. So that's my issue with Caleb Williams. It's all about, it's not the talent. It's not the talent at all. It's all about the personality. It's all about, does he have the commitment, the drive, the desire? And I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying I haven't seen it. I haven't seen enough of it for me. You know, opting out of pro days, opting out of the combine. Just saying, I'm going one overall. See you later. I don't care. He wants it easy.
Yeah, his pro day was pretty poor. His throws were lackluster, missed a few. And when you don't go to the combine, and when I say don't go, you don't do anything, absolutely zero at the combine.
Right.
And you build your pro day. We've seen it. Players don't go to the combine because they're scared of X, Y, or Z or aren't combine ready. Because we know in itself that that is an event now. You get yourself combine ready. You don't go from football season to the combine. You have to change basically how you play football for the combine. Yeah. And then you have a pro day. And those pro days are tailored for you. Caleb Williams, just like you say, he said he's locked in for the one, so he couldn't be bothered. Well, if you couldn't be bothered with your pro day, don't do it. Because the only thing you're doing then is hurting yourself.
And that's my point, is exactly that. Is I think there's a real statement of you'll have players. If this was Tom Brady, right? If this was Tom Brady and he knew he was going one overall, if he decided to opt out the combine, I don't think Tom Brady would have ever opted out the combine.
Nope.
Yes, he did. He would have made that pro day unbelievably good. He would have done everything in his power to deliver an A1 pro day to say, that's why I'm going number one. I'm going to lay a marker so that there's absolutely no doubt everyone in the world knows I am the best quarterback in this draft. Because it's pride. Caleb Williams wants it easy. He's like, look, I'm going one overall. I couldn't care. Doesn't matter. I'm going one overall. So when the going gets tough, what's he going to be like?
Well, I know, And not only that, on from the other flip side of the coin, if I was a Bears player and I saw my new franchise quarterback acting like that, I'd be well annoyed.
I'm not. I think you know, and he's got Keenan Allen, who is not someone that you want to get on the wrong side of.
Nope.
DJ Moore.
Chicago doesn't sound, to me, Chicago is one of the more icy edged places where you don't want to go and be the wrong guy. You know, Chicago is a tough place. And...
But they always pick the wrong guy. This is the thing. They have a known history of drafting horrendous quarterbacks. They have done for years. When was the last time a Bears quarterback was a true franchise quarterback? A long time. They drafted Trubisky.
Jay Gruden, man. No, Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler. Well, they didn't draft Jay Cutler. They signed him. But I mean, you're looking at... They drafted Trubisky, had one good year in his rookie year. Didn't pan out for the biscuit. Then they move on from him. They get Justin Fields. He doesn't look anywhere near a pro-ready NFL quarterback. I'm sorry. Like, I know he's got his fans because he does well in fantasy football, but the geezer completes 54% of his throws. It's not going to get done at that level. You can see why the Bears moved on. People say, oh, it's a bold choice moving on from Justin Fields. Oh, well, Justin Fields is going to go for a song. He's going to go for a second round pick. He's going to be a starter. He's on the bench. He's not going to start many more games in the NFL. He's not an NFL starter. I just think, like, and the Bears aggressively moved up to get Fields. Like, they traded a fair bit to get him. I just feel like Caleb Williams is just going to be another one of these long line of quarterbacks. You just think, oh, man, really? All right, but we'll see. I'm happy to be proven wrong. So for me, if I'm the Patriots of three and I'm taking a quarterback, I'm not taking Caleb Williams because he's the most unpatriots quarterback you could imagine.
Yeah,
I'm taking Michael Pay.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Penix Jr. That's the coin flip for me. It's depending on the environment, the talent would be the coin flip.
Yeah, I think that's fair and suits the Patriots more. And yeah. I saw that a good article today about mock drafts. You mentioned it earlier, Daniel Jeremiah, but most mock drafts don't take into consider, you know, salary cap, scheme fit, playbook, and they're just based on player rankings and stuff. And It's so easy to say he should go one, but in theory, you know, he might not go one because he doesn't fit any of the schemes until five. I'm not talking about Caleb Williams. I'm just saying the best player available by only playing a West Coast offense, and that isn't available draft wise until, you know, the fifth pick or whatever. So it's have you got any more hot talks takes that?
I think Bo Nix is a busted flush, and I'm lower on Jaden Daniels than other people. I'd have Jaden Daniels five. I'd probably have Bo Nix at seven, which is going to pee off people. I don't really care.
Not really.
I'm not really there on Bo Nix at all. I'd have Spencer Rattler over Bo Nix. I'm really sort of on the fence between Michael Pratt and Bo Nix.
Well, I think I'd take Michael Pratt.
Yeah, I don't hate that. I could be swayed either way. I'm kind of like, they're much of a muchness at that point. And then at that point, I'd probably be taking a spin on Jordan Travers, actually, just for the what could Jordan Travers be.
Yeah.
And I'd be taking him as a lottery pick, by the way, because I think at that point, I look at the first five quarterbacks in May, Williams, Daniels, McCarthy, and Penix, and think those guys could start in the NFL. I look at Rattler and think he could start in the NFL. Like, I don't think he's far away. I think he needs to develop a bit. I think he needs to sit behind someone. If situations broke his way year two, he almost needs the kind of Jalen Hurts arc where he's behind an incumbent quarterback who is declining. He gets an opportunity to play, and then we see if he can do it or not. That's kind of where I have Spencer Rattler. After that, the only other quarterback in this draft I'd even consider drafting is Jordan Travers, because he could turn into an NFL starter. He might not, probably won't. But there's a question that I think he could. In the right environment with the right coaching, there is a character and a kid there that could really thrive.
Yeah. He's flashed enough for me to consider him as a potential starter going forward.
Yeah, and I think that's it. The thing that goes against him is his age, but Yeah, there's stuff there. I think, yeah, I'd be curious and interested in him. You know, Bo Nix is already 24. It's quite old for a guard.
I've seen, so over the last couple of days, Denver have successfully managed to win me back over a little bit with an absolutely sick jersey reveal video, and then the jerseys being quite nice themselves, and then systematically break me back down by suggesting that there's a good chance we trade back with potentially Pittsburgh or the Eagles, and then select Bo Nix at the end of the first. I'm like, this is just toilet water right now. Like, don't do that to me.
That sounds just like that won't happen. Yeah.
I know. It just, please don't. I've seen enough Bo Nix at Auburn to know that Bo Nix at Oregon could well potentially be just a charade, and there's an Auburn Bo Nix in there waiting to burst back out.
If someone takes Bo Nix in the first round, that GM's getting fired pretty quickly. Well, he'll be out of a job in 2 years. He'll be out of a job in 2 years. Have to be. If you take him, oh, it's balloons backing up my point. On the line.
There we go. Yeah.
Today's magic word. Fired.
Fired. If you're not watching, if you're not watching on the audio, if you're not watching on the video and you're only listening on the audio, you need to come and join us over on YouTube, because that's the kind of magic you don't get on the audio. Murph surrounded by balloons when he's talking about the firing of GMs. Which leads back nicely to a few years ago, where, and now there's fireworks, where we were pushing for Murph to be the GM of the New York Giants. That was.
Well, I'd have done a better job than Dave Gettleman. I'm sorry. I stand by it now. I stand by it now that I still would have done a better job than Dave Gettleman. They've done a better job in recent years. There's a big part of me that hopes they take Michael Penix at six. Because I genuinely really like Michael Penix. So. We'll see. Let's move on to running backs, because we could do this in about 45 seconds, I think.
Pass. I don't know.
Well,
no. Do you know what? I've come around to thinking that my favorite running group back of this group is Blake Corum.
Yeah.
And I've tried to put others ahead of him, and I keep coming back to Blake Corum being an absolute workhorse for a Michigan team that used their running back extensively against good defensive lines, and Blake Corum can get it done.
But that's also my issue with Blake Corum.
Okay, fair.
My issue with Blake Corum is that kid's got a lot of tread on his tires. Listen, he's done it. 58 touchdowns on the ground, 3 receiving touchdowns. I question the receiving element of him, because he's never really demonstrated that he can catch the football with any real success, which I think in the modern day NFL, you need to. He's a one-trick pony for me. He does that one trick very well. But he's 24 with a lot of tread on his tires. You get 2 years, 3 years out of him, tops. That's my issue with Blake Corum. That's my issue with him. That's why he's not... It's why we drafted in the third round. Because he just...
When do you think we'll see the first running back? When's the first running back
round? I think Jonathan Brooks goes in the second round.
Okay.
Jonathan Brooks is very young. He's not quite 21. He doesn't have a lot of tread on his tires. He's carried the ball less than 300 times in college. He really has only had one proper season, which is a good and a bad thing. It's good from the perspective of a lot of tread in that tire still to go. He's got a lot of youth, a lot of mileage. You could get 7 years out of Jonathan Brooks as a player in the NFL. He's proven he can catch the ball. He's proven he can. He's got good hands, good speed, good size. But on the flip side of that, he has 1,800 total yards in college football.
Yeah.
And so, admittedly, what goes in his favor is he did it at Texas, not some small school. No disrespect.
And he was behind Bijan. He was behind Bijan,
so there's no slouch. It's not like he's being held out to some wannabe talent. So I think at the end of the day, I look at Jonathan Brooks and I just think he's got that. If you're looking at a running back in this class thinking that's a guy I can have on my roster for 4 or 5 years, Jonathan Brooks is kind of the only one in this draft who's got enough of everything to do it. There's an argument for Trey Benson. My issue with Trey Benson is he just played against duds. You know, the ACC is a pretty bang average soft conference. Yeah. So he's got good numbers. Don't get me wrong. He's got good numbers. He's got 2 years of production where he kind of like split time. But he never had a 1,000-yard season, even in the ACC. But admittedly, he only carried the ball 150 times. He was averaging nearly 6 yards. He averages 6 yards a carry effectively. So, you know, you could argue he didn't get enough volume to get a 1,000-yard season. But also, I think that and you had Travers. Travers obviously carried the ball a lot, very mobile quarterback. So I think with Benson, I think, is Benson good enough to get enough work in the NFL to be fantasy relevant? I don't think so. I think he's all right. I think he'll have a role as a scat back. The only other back, I think, the only backs, I think, from a fantasy football perspective, I'm willing to put a small amount on, thinking that they would really do things at this level, is Jonathan Brooks and potentially Jalen Wright. But Jalen Wright, you know, he played 3 years. He's still only 21. SEC 1,000-yard season. He only did that on 137 carries as well. He's proven he can catch the ball. Not enough for me. I think it's an area he has to develop. But I think Jalen Wright is someone who's a good size. I think he can do reasonably well for a team where he could carve out a decent fantasy relevant role. But I look at Wright and Brooks and think they're the only two I think can really carve out a decent fantasy role. Everyone else, I just think that Corum could for a short period as a 1 or 2 year if it breaks right for him. But he'll need to land in a perfect spot for him really to make that work. The only other back I really have some strong, if you're looking at these sort of late round flyers who could just usurp, I like Audric Estime and Bucky Irving. Bucky Irving are probably one of the worst combines I've ever seen. But
so I did Estime.
But Estime was bad as well, I suppose. Yeah. but I actually really like what both of these guys have on tape. I like the fact they offer something a bit different. And I actually think they could be sort of these sleeper picks later on in drafts, potentially. So that's kind of where I'm not that bothered about the rest of the running backs. I think it's a weak running back class. I think if you are looking for running back help in your rookie drafts, this is the wrong year for you.
Yes.
Trade your picks and get a veteran.
Yeah. Even that's a strange market at the moment. The running back veteran room is just...
Yeah, but it's settled down a bit now. We kind of know where we are, so...
Yeah, that's fair. Do you want to leave wide receivers for your show tomorrow, Murph?
Yeah, we can do that. All I would say is I'm very chalky. I guess we just I think we could I'll just summarize it and say that Marvin Harrison is probably the best wide receiver prospect we've seen over the last few years, and
unless apparently you are the Arizona Cardinals who have Malik Nabers as their wide receiver one on their
how true
one.
Is that how
no true? I know, yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, this is another bit of that absolute guff we saw earlier.
I actually have Odunze over Nabers.
Me too.
Okay, good. But that's not anything on Nabers either, by the way. I like those three are the consensus three. I think you can switch two and three. I like McConkie Mitchell over Thomas.
Yep.
I've been very high on AD Mitchell. I think I was probably one of the first that was mocking him in the first round of fantasy drafts. I've been there a long time with AD Mitchell. I remember going on the Dynasty hot seat and talking about Aidy Mitchell when I got slayed in the comments. And I was like, I don't care.
Wouldn't be the first time, Murph.
Can I just say, Aidy Mitchell to the Chiefs would be absolutely brilliant for fantasy football. Bring it on.
Yeah. I don't hate that.
I mean, that'd be phenomenal. Scheme fit, talent fit, opportunity. Aidy Mitchell to the moon. I'd love it. So, yeah, that's kind of where I am.
That would be brilliant, because then I could get Agent Chiefs jersey as well, because it would be our last name.
Yeah, there you go. So
big fan of that.
There you go. Let's make it happen. Aidy Mitchell to the Chiefs. I know some Chiefs fans would be well happy with that. And then we've got the tight end position. So Brock Bowers is obviously the standout. I think if he goes in the top 10 of the NFL draft, it's a luxury pick. That's not to slate Brock Bowers, but does he really improve a top 10 team to get not picking in the top 10 again? Probably not.
No.
Case in point, Kyle Pitts going at 4. Kyle Pitts is still arguably the best tight end that's come out of college in the last 10 years.
Yeah. Stings, doesn't it? A player of such talent at a position is
being wasted.
Yeah. What do you think my glorious donkeys do, Murph, at 12?
I think you have to really watch the board and see what the quarterback board is doing. There's talk that you might go for wide receiver, which I just hate. I think you have to look at it and think, well, who is going to be available?
We have so few picks.
If Penix is on the board, I would take Penix. Every mock draft I've seen has you getting a quarterback or Brock Bowers. You did this a few years ago when you traded up and got Noah Fant, and that did not work for you. So don't make that same mistake again.
No, we traded back with Pittsburgh.
Oh, sorry, you traded back.
They got
Devin
Bush.
Devin Bush, that's right. And then, yeah, you picked...
We Noah picked Fant. Noah Fant, and then...
20, that's, you were picking at 10, you went to 20. That's right. The mock drafts have you going Nix or McCarthy. I don't think McCarthy's there at 12.
I mean, if he's there at
12, run to the podium right now and just stamp it. If Penix is on the board, I'd take Penix. If Daniels is there, I'd take Daniels.
Oh.
I don't love it, but Daniels is better than Zach Wilson. That's not saying much, but if you have to go through the season with Zach Wilson at quarterback, I genuinely believe Sean Payton will walk out.
It's definitely not the master plan. It can't be. Surely not.
No, I think if McCarthy makes it past 5, the Broncos have to be aggressive and go game. I think you even leverage next year's 1 to get him. I think if you had to move up from 12 to 5 and you had to give up next year's 1 to get McCarthy, if he's there at 5 or 6, I don't think he's going to stay at 6. I think if you get him, if he's there at 5, I think you've got to go and get him. I genuinely do, because I think if you don't, the Vikings might.
Well, the Vikings are already poised to do so with 2 firsts this year, aren't they?
Yeah, but ultimately, I think... Yeah, the thing that will go against you at 5 is it's a division rival.
Yeah, and there is even 4,
cost you a bit more. But I think you've got to look at McCarthy. I think they've got to find a way to get that done. I think if you don't get McCarthy, Penix. If you don't get Penix, you probably need a new head coach, because I don't think Payton's gonna stick around for a season as Zach Wilson.
I genuinely
think if you start the season as if you have to play a season with Zach Wilson at quarterback, you're picking top 3 next year.
which might be the grand plan.
It might be.
You just have to endure a whole year of absolute nonsense for, well, who knows?
I mean, if you don't go there, I see you going maybe Mitchell, the cornerback from Toledo. I see you going corner. It's a big hole in your team. So I could see you going there. I could see you going edge. Maybe someone like Dallas Turner could be a fit.
I like Dallas Turner.
Yeah, I think he's a good player. I don't think you'd be that unhappy. I think if you're not going to get the quarterback and you're going to bomb the year, building the trench, I don't hate that. I don't think I'd go corner at 12 as much as I think Mitchell's a good player. I think Turner for me would be your fullback. I'd look at quarterback or I'd look at Turner. If you take Brock Bowers at 12, that might be one of that would be such a stupid pick. Like, it would be such a stupid pick. Is Zach Wilson throwing the ball to Brock Bowers? It would be an absolute catastrophe. It'd be a catastrophe. You'd just be taking one of the better tight ends we've seen in the last 5 years and just saying, don't worry, mate, we're just going to completely tank your career. It's going to be worse than Kyle Pitts to Atlanta. Far worse.
Look, I've had enough of writing terrible storylines for Denver. Let's move on.
Cause... JJ McCarthy, let's just manifest it. JJ McCarthy to Denver. Let's manifest it for you. I think it would be criminal if he's still on the board past 5. But
we need one of those draft day board foolers, Murph. That's what we need.
Oh my god. Do you remember months and months ago when we talked about the Bucks and I said I'd love to have JJ McCarthy for the Bucks.
Yeah.
And then obviously Baker Mayfield's panned out. But you kind of not mocked me, but you questioned why I'd want JJ McCarthy. Because at this point, I think he was a third round quarterback. And I was like, I'd be all in on McCarthy. If he was there in the teens, I'm taking him. And obviously now no one's thinking that. There you go. That's just a sign of me. Just I'm playing checkers when everyone's playing chess.
Slow your roll, son. Come on.
Yeah, it's actually, do you know what? It's been me that's been flooding the JJ McCarthy rumors. He's actually going to go like 68th overall. It's just me. I'm like agent JJ Smith. JJ McCarthy has literally just been mocking. I've literally just been messing around. I've been raising his draft stock just to absolutely ruin everyone.
Well, you're playing the long game for sure there, partner.
I think next year, do you know, I'll be phenomenal. Next season, I would absolutely love to just pick a random player and just start seeding loads of like crap rumors through loads of burner accounts and just see if we can get a player to quote unquote rise up a draft board for experience.
The world doesn't need more of that. The world doesn't need any more seeders.
Oh, mate. Don't hate the player.
There's already enough.
If you can't beat him, join him. I'm a bit confused about what the Buccaneers do for...
Kool-Aid.
Yeah. I saw a mock draft today saying we're taking Keon Coleman in the first round.
Wow. Okay.
I'm like, yeah. All right then. So we've already got Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. But yeah, let's just add another wide receiver. Why not? And take him in the first round. Don't worry, we haven't got an edge, and we haven't got and we need some help on the offensive line. But yeah, let's just do that. Let's just take
a big bodied receiver. Excellent news.
Yeah, let's just do it. Job done. I reckon it's probably going to be Powers Johnson of Oregon on the offensive line. You might get, if there's a faller edge, like a Latu out of UCLA, could be an interesting one. Or Kool-Aid. Obviously, we've lost all the experience at the cornerback room, chaining CD3. So Kool-Aid would be obviously a big upgrade there. So, and we like drafting corners high. We tend to do it more in the second round, but... Yeah, I think that'd be the names I'd be looking for Buccaneers.
Marvelous stuff. Murph, let people know what tomorrow's podcast is going to be like.
Yeah, so I'm basically going to do it from a fantasy perspective. I'm going to basically just review the fantasy landscape, almost do like a fantasy mock draft, but based on values as opposed to based on team needs and requirements. And then you'll get a view for like how I'm ranking them from a fantasy perspective. That's going to change significantly once we know the draft spots and the opportunities, and the draft capital invested. They're kind of the big ones, but you'll just get a sense of almost what my position rankings are for fantasy football based on the NFL draft before they get drafted. And then you can laugh at them when the draft has happened.
That's the key takeaway here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Super, super, super stuff. Anything else before we jet?
Sign up for the FFCC. Sign up is on the pinned 5-yard rush tweet. I think we're over £2,000 raised. Plenty of spots. Keep signing up. Keep donating. Thank you so much for those who have donated so far. I will start getting gear, things in gear in terms of invites out and stuff like that. And to just keep drawing attention to that, please retweet that if you can. If you want to get in touch, a few things I want to say, actually, just we talked last time about mental health. Got some nice messages on Sleeper. Thank you very much. Doing well, getting support and feel good, and definitely feel in a more positive place than I think I was about a month, 6 weeks ago. But also a lot of people just sent me some really nice messages saying thanks for talking about the things that people don't talk about. It's almost sad that people aren't willing to talk about these sorts of things. So if you just need to talk to someone, reach out to me on Sleeper, and I'll have a chat. I'll give you my number and we can have a chat and go through. I've been chatting to some good folks this week. Andy Campbell in particular reached out to me to check out how I was doing, and Martin Weeks. So yeah, really appreciate those guys for getting in touch and checking in, and Liam as well, a few other folks. So yeah, really appreciate that. And Steve, and yeah, lots of folks. So yeah, really appreciate everyone checking in and seeing how I'm doing. And let's have a really good one. That's it. Sign up for FFCC and enjoy the draft. Hopefully it's better than the hype has been.
Yeah, go Bears. go Bears. Talking of Bears, our old boy Tom Scott sent me a picture today. He met Sean Gale and tried on his Super Bowl ring.
So oh, lovely.
He sent me a selfie with the Super Bowl ring, and he looked so proud that I think he looked prouder than when he had his kids. So that's that one's for you, Tom, if you're listening. You're welcome. So, yeah, listen to Mouse Podcast tomorrow, if nothing else, to get back at him for his picks before the draft, after the draft, when their fantasy relevance has either evaporated or come good on Murph's rankings. We'll wait and see. But yeah, until the draft, make sure you enjoy it. Get your chicken wings in. Let us know what you're doing for it. But until next week, when we are
reviewing the draft. Days,
yeah, 6 days post draft. Well, post round one. We're going to review the draft next week. So do lock in for that, because it's going to be good. Because I imagine there'll be some shenanigans that we have not predicted. But That's a whole week away. So
kicker going round one, calling it now.
Arizona, pick of four. That's gonna do it for today's show, everybody. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you next week. As always, don't forget, keep rushing.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.